On Monday's front page, the bipartisan Congressional Supercommittee is close to failure. It's unlikely to reach a compromise on lowering the federal deficit. That's shifting the focus to automatic budget cuts. Egypt's military rulers tried to fend off protests demanding their ouster, but demonstrators pushed security forces out of Tahrir Square for a second night in a row. And flying first class has never been more luxurious. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the Congressional Supercommittee is close to failure. Democrats and Republicans can't agree on a deficit deal. Times reporter Eric Lipton says they can't even agree on what went wrong. The anger on the Sunday talk shows made clear there's almost no way they can work out a negotiated package of spending reductions and tax increases. They've spent 10 weeks trying, and the clock is ticking toward a Wednesday deadline. Monday's Times says the one sliver of real hope came 8 days ago. Several Democrats on the supercommittee were called to Senator Patty Murray's office. They worked on the outlines of a potential agreement. It appeared to have the backing of at least one Republican on the 12-member panel who was willing to go along with some new taxes if the Bush tax cuts were extended. The chances of getting the full committee on board soon faded. Also on Monday's front page, Egypt's military rulers tried to contain an explosion of protests demanding their ouster. This as a growing crowd of demonstrators pushed security forces out of Tahrir Square for a second night in a row. The soldiers fired tear gas into the crowds and stormed the square, but the interim military government's move to beat down the protesters only seemed to make them more determined. Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick says the demonstrations spread to 7 other cities. Times reporter Scott Shane says the confrontation served as a reminder for the Obama administration. For diplomats, the takeaway was a lot remains to be settled among democracy advocates, Islamists, the military, and the other factions in Egypt. The immediate worry is there could be a military crackdown. That could put off the first parliamentary election since President Hosni Mubarak's ouster. The voting is set to begin next Sunday. Family ties are overcoming the political stalemate with Cuba that began when Fidel Castro came to power. That was 52 years ago. Now children from Miami can fly to Havana for visits. Castro's takeover drove thousands of Cubans to Florida. The South Florida congressional delegation still takes a hard line on Cuba. That plays well with older voters. But Times reporter Lizette Alvarez says younger Cuban Americans want more contact with the people in Cuba, not less. Also on Monday's front page, the gap between first class and coach has never been wider. Airlines now have private suites on international flights. They're also cooking 3-star meals and giving passengers massages. And that's before the plane takes off. Only a few passengers can afford $15,000 to fly first class from New York to Singapore or Sydney, but the airlines are betting the image of luxury helps attract passengers who can fill the seats on the rest of the plane. Inside Monday's Times, witnesses reported Ethiopian troops crossed the border into Somalia. They went in with armored personnel carriers, heavy artillery, and tanks. That opened another front in a growing international offensive against Islamist Shabaab militants. They are already battling Kenyan forces in southern Somalia and African Union peacekeepers in the capital of Mogadishu. In Spain, the ruling Socialist Party lost at the polls. Spaniards struggling with high unemployment and a credit squeeze turned to the Conservative Popular Party. It won 186 seats and a governing majority in the 350-seat lower house of parliament. That made Spain the third Eurozone country to change governments in 2 weeks. Like the new leaders in Greece and Italy, whoever becomes prime minister in Spain will have to deal with economic stagnation and big budget deficits. Monday's Business Day section says big media companies have been shopping around for new concepts. Media companies have discovered that foreign formats do well here. That's one reason Time Warner made a $1.4 billion bid for the Dutch production company behind hits like Big Brother and Love in the Wild. Discovery Communications is paying $16 million for a British production company. Some parents with e-readers are insisting their children learn to read the old-fashioned way. The parents want the kids to turn actual physical pages as they learn about shapes and colors. The parents admit there's a double digital standard here. The parents don't want the shiny gadget getting all the attention if they cuddle up for a story. And if little Joey's going to spit up, a book is probably easier to clean than a tablet computer. Google Apps for Business is probably Google's best business after search-based advertising. Google Apps is the company's cloud computing challenge to Microsoft Office programs like Word and PowerPoint. Google probably thinks something else is more important. Google Apps is helping Google build social networks. That means it's also a threat to Facebook. The big health insurance company Cigna is going to start selling coverage in India, where 85% of the people are uninsured. Cigna is about to announce a joint venture with a company that's best known for making kitchen appliances, but it also makes drugs and medical equipment in India and handles insurance there. Monday's arts section says the New York Philharmonic is having trouble finding a new top executive. At least six people have either turned down the job or said they weren't interested. The orchestra's been trying to fill the position since President Zarin Mehta announced he'd retire after this season. The current leading candidates include the top administrator at the Melbourne Symphony in Australia and the chief executive of the Toronto Symphony. That's our preview of Monday's Times. This year, the New York Times Neediest Cases Fund is celebrating its 100th anniversary. You can read about what the Neediest Cases Fund has done for people in the New York area who need help. Go to nytimes.com/neediest. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.